back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Mr. Speaker, did the Gothic movement get... Blah, blah. Hey, David Slack, hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you, Mackie.
Here's David Slack to talk politics with us. Thanks for coming to the studio. I really appreciate that on this beautiful
Here
morning.
I am, full of coffee.
With a beer, yeah, just full you're of
getting,
You're
getting my best work this morning. You often wing... Sometimes when you guys ring me up, I have just woken.
Yep,
it's possibly not the finest political commentary I've ever offered.
But there's a lot to comment on, isn't there? Isn't it? It must be hard work when you're a pundit like yourself.
Best election I've ever seen.
Really? See, yep. Isn't that amazing?
And I was old enough to clock what was happening when Muldoon was steaming to power, and that was pretty...
He did steam to power too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, great, like big steaming
ham.
Pile.
Yeah. I guess what's I'll start with what's tickling your fancy first, and then I'll go through my checklist.
Well, I've got a theory about the whole Winston thing, because people have said, is it because he's doing it to get attention?
Yeah,
is
it I thought
the
it might be him.
National want to bleed it off him so that he maybe gets pushed under 5% so that it inflates the votes for the two major parties? There's another possibility, though, and it's more straightforward. This is assuming they actually leaked it, and we don't know that either. But let's say they did.
You know how we don't know that? don't we know that?
But let's say that. Well, I mean, one other possibility is that somebody dark in one of the departments leaked it because, you know, and they wanted to, or they thought that might help Winston. I don't know. But
it's most likely. Yeah. No, I can't say that at all, can I? They did know about it prior, you know, quite a bit. Prior to the public finding out about it.
They did, and there was no blessed reason for them to know it. None at all. And you know, for the same reason that, for example, Audrey Young made this point yesterday, if Winston Peters had a hip operation, there's no reason for the party to be informed.
No.
You know?
And we should be clear, because, I mean, in an election, it's hard to keep up with all the stories.
Mm-mm.
What's happened is somebody's take. Who took him to task about it? The News Hub, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody told News Hub.
Somebody told News Hub.
It didn't just suddenly occur to News Hub one afternoon. Oh shit! I wonder if Winston paid the right amount, got the right amount of super, and went digging. Somebody contacted
him. He's been getting overpaid superannuation for quite a what seems to be.
He lives with a partner, therefore he's only entitled to a lesser rate, but he was paid as though he was a single fellow.
Yeah, of course. What with under the shadow of the Materia shoes.
Exactly, that's right.
It's
looks
really up
sketchy.
At the forefront.
That's right.
So, and of course, he doesn't like to look sketchy.
No,
does he?
Doesn't.
Not at all.
Well, no, he likes things to be sketchy.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like it when he's the sketchy one. He always gets you just to the point where you think you're going to hear everything, and then he leaves a bit out. I said it in a column yesterday. He's like a Game of Thrones MPEG file that you download. It stops at 78%, so that when you play it, you can kind of, you know, there's just enough to play it, but you can't quite see who's got the sword and who's getting screwed.
Yeah,
you know? And so he's forever doing. And here he could have tidied it up the same way, because if he could have said, well, how much did you actually get overpaid, Mr. Peters? Well, here it is. This is what I got overpaid.
I'll pay it back.
And can we see the paperwork? And, well, here it is. And then we'd know. But he won't, so we don't. Hence all of this swelling
but
thing.
He shouldn't have to, because it's, like you say, it's his business.
Oh,
you know?
Well, that's
and,
true.
But
yeah,
then
yeah.
I just wonder if the shoe was on the other foot, though.
Yeah, well, and here's the other mastery, the masterful thing about him. Starts out with that he's the scandal. Within a day, he's inverted it into the scandal being the leak.
That was amazing. That's amazing politics.
That's amazing politics.
And the fact that he's like, you know, the next headline is Winston's on the warpath. It's like, hang on, wasn't he the one that got all the extra money?
That's right.
You know,
anyway, to haul it back around to the point I was going to propose at the start, I'm wondering if the thinking with the National was, the more we've got this on the front page, the less we've got Jacinda effect. Because if anything has screwed them up, it's the Jacinda effect. And it's real, and it's potent, and she is just barnstorming, and I think it can go all the way. Because once you've got momentum, then you've got media narrative that says, my God, look at her go. So she goes further and further and further. And this is how things come in.
She's doing all the right things as far as... there's no sign of a fadeaway. You know what I mean? There's no big hit, and that's us.
So now all the pundits are saying, well, yeah, but wait till tonight. This is her first big test. How will she do? Here's how she'll do, Mikey.
She's bloody great.
She's really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that undid, for example, Phil Goff with John Key in their leader debate was that Phil didn't know his details properly, partly because Cunliffe, the finance spokesman, hadn't filled him in properly. And so Key, who knew it backwards, just absolutely floored him and had a clever phrase to go with it. Show me the money, yeah. Phil. And he just kept going, show me the money. And he looked like an idiot. Well, both Bill English and Jacinda know their details. They really know their details. Yep. So one's not going to out-wonk the other. So it comes down to who's got the better flair. She's got flair.
The difference is that, you know, with Cunliffe as well, you know, David Cunliffe in the last one, was, you know, those guys still were in a situation where they'd sort of tumbled into the leadership.
True.
You know, the party was divided underneath them.
Yeah,
And I mean, she has got his spinnaker out.
Has she ever?
And everyone can see it, and everyone's applauding it, and everyone's behind it. When you go into a debate, I guess, like they're going to go into tonight, I would imagine that aside from the having to deal with Mike Hosking, you'd be largely in charge, you know, surely.
Oh, you bet. And what we've also seen with her, with, for example, Mark Richardson on the AM show, is that if somebody does throw something...
It's funny that Mark Richardson's a part of the election, eh?
So something weird at her. She both... maintains her composure, has the perfect answer, perfect response, looks like, has the gesture, the perfect gesture, so that it looks masterful. And she leaves him kind of holding his dignity at the end so that everybody comes out happy.
But that's something that people, I know that one thing, regardless of who they're up against, the one reason I wouldn't vote for the National Party again, ever. It was because I can't be bothered being talked down to anymore.
You know?
And you don't, you know, I don't think as a human being you have to leave somebody beaten and kicked in the gutter just to prove that you've got a better argument. You know, and that's why I think that, you know, it's kind of cheesy, the relentless positivity thing, but it's way more interesting listening to someone do that. And does, as you're right, show some respect for your opponent.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, you're aware that not everybody in the country loves you.
And who are the people we've liked most? It's been people like Hillary, Peter Blake, Sylvia Cartwright. These are people who...
Billy T. James.
Actually, yeah, because they never get angry. But they've also got steel, and they know how to do those two things together, and we like that kind of person. She's got it too, Jacinda. Now, the thing about being... I used to think Bill English was kind of like that too, but the more I've seen of his... talking candidly to people where he thinks he's amongst friends, you realise actually he's that kind of farmer who thinks we're all a bit stupid, these people in town, and he's kind of... He and Stephen Joyce both have it. It's that amused father knows best expression. You know, one day when we grow up, we'll know why we can't have a puppy.
Yeah.
Whereas there's sort of the Judith Collins dimension, which is, I just don't want you to have a puppy. And I want to see the expression on your face when you find out. But what you've got overall is a kind of a condescension that you were just talking about. And I'm sick of it too.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I think New Zealanders are more interested in blah, blah, that thing. You know, they, when they talk, when whatever political party speaks, even Winston Peters does it quite a bit as well, talking for the whole of New Zealand.
Oh,
you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
That stuff, that gets on my tits as well.
Yeah, it does. And you know, in the bigger picture of all of this, what we've got is stuff that we're kind of pretending isn't dreadful. You know, like there was a terrific story in the Herald that Kirsty Johnson did yesterday that shows what it's like for families in rented houses that don't have enough insulation and they can't afford electric power in the winter. So kids are actually getting diseases
and
kids
dying.
Are actually dying.
Yep.
That's how bad it is. We have lakes that are so past the point of no return that we have comprehensively trashed them. We've got a whole bunch of and also we've had economic growth for the last 3 or 4 years, mostly because we've just had an influx of people. But which can be good.
But
we've spent nothing on the infrastructure that has to go with an added population. So in fact, they've taken a free hit on economic growth. They're claiming to be great economic managers. That's bullshit.
The last couple of elections, I think they seem to have had a great they being the government have had a lot of support from small business owners. You know, the person that thought, you know, I pay a couple of people. Like, the time I got something for me, I put in all this hard work. I put it's all my risk. Where's my payback? it's been very that, and I'm not hearing it this time round. And yeah, I wonder whether that you know, whether your $2 tax cuts and your petty little sweeteners like that aren't going to work this time around.
And you know what? They're not.
It means the policy. It means the policy's a lot stronger from all the parties, I think.
Well, you do have. It's funny, actually. You've got all of the parties saying we're going to do new things. Yeah. But you've got, when National announces it gets categorised as an investment they couldn't afford any sooner. When Labor promises
it, we promise it'll happen in 2030.
It's a bribe. Yeah. When it's the Greens, it's a loony bribe. Yeah. You know, there's a whole kind of skewing of it that's a bit frustrating. And the largest of the commitments by National is $10.5 billion on roads. Which is just insane. Yep. Because
meanwhile, the nation's suicide rate goes up.
You bet. Yeah. You know, you've got everything for Jacinda Ardern to talk about tonight, because she, despite what Gareth Morgan says, she's actually laid out a whole lot of comprehensive policy on health, on housing, on student funding. It's all good stuff.
I don't think Gareth Morgan's going to have the election I think he thought he was going to have at one stage. One stage it looked like he might be a bit of a player in it. You know,
it's a damn shame, because I really like a number of his policies, including his asset tax one. It's really sensible, because it actually goes further than Labor's prepared to do on everybody trying to make money for nothing out of houses. Yep. Labor wants, if and when they have a capital gains tax, they want to leave the family home out of it. That you can't have a meat pie with no meat, and that's essentially what you're doing if you leave the family home out. So. I'd like to see Gareth Morgan's approach adopted.
Whatever happened to Honihawa's Honiheke tax? The taxing 1% on all financial transactions over $100,000.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it was going to the figures were checked and checked and double checked on it. That it wouldn't mean we wouldn't have to pay GST and
that's right.
Or income. If you took 1% of all the every $100,000 that's traded, you know, just.
Yeah,
up in the sky, which is how it's done, sort of thing. They it would be enough to no New Zealand would have to pay income tax, and no New Zealand would have to pay GST.
I love that.
And
they've talked about it in Britain as a
and
Robin,
it's from Honihawa,
the Robin Hood tax, same kind of principle. But you have had the whole financial services industry used to get about
sort of 10% of the economy,
10% of the profits now gets about 40%. I'm being loose, but it's of that order. Get stuffed.
Yeah, exactly.
Give the money to the nurses. Give them the money to the teachers, give the money to the people who do things that actually matter for us.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little bit annoyed at just how much attention we worry about our farmers so much.
Well,
because
sure.
These
would be the ones who've killed our lakes, Mikey.
How long are we obliged to suck up to the farming community when it's they're not prepared to sort of replace their divots?
I'm
generalising, obviously.
But they are not. Typically now, a mum and dad struggling entity.
No, they're laptops,
as we saw
and robots
with the disease problem in the South Island. It's a corporation that owns these various farms, and that is the way these things are working now. Your dairy farmer is more likely to wear a suit and live in the city now. And the staff doing the milking come from the Philippines.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. The last question I want to ask you, David. Thank you very much for coming in again. Like I said,
our pleasure.
You look at something like the Iraq War, and you look at something like I think it's like the modern war or the modern political rally, the modern political campaign. It seems to me to be getting more and more transparent. You know, like the average person's able to find out a lot more than they were able to find out.
Right,
In earlier times. Do you think it's the same over here? Do you think it's the same in New Zealand? Do you think it's the same at the moment?
Well, you've been seeing really, really surreal photos of a couple of Bill English's photo ops where he's just got a lectern and a mic and a couple of signs behind him, and it'll be in a warehouse somewhere. And they've been taking photos several feet back so that you realise it's just an empty warehouse in Te Puke, you know. And it's just so emblematic. That is how things have devolved to a large extent. In the last couple of elections, the only way politicians seemed to be able to get people's attention was to go and stand on a street corner on a busy intersection and wave placards in the morning while people drove by listening to The Edge, you know. But what we've got now with these large crowds for Jacinda Ardern is a demonstration that actually, if it takes people's imagination, you can still do it the old-fashioned way. Muldoon used to fill up a huge crowds like a wool store in Wiri, 5,000 people, and all he had were a couple of charts made by the same sign writer who did the oranges at the Green Crisis. You know, really, really basic stuff. So, you know, all of that spin stuff, you didn't see any of that. It was just him, baby. Yeah. And it worked. And sure, there's a whole social media construct behind Jacinda Ardern this time around, but at the heart of it, it's actually this person
as much as I thought it was going to be, actually, but the social media thing. All right, and the Greens, yes or no, are they going to get in?
Jeez.
Do you want to leave that for another time?
I think they can get there, but boy, they're three wide and facing the breeze, Mikey.
Thank you very much, David Slack. See you again.
Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.